Hello, everybody. We can get started now. Regine is here. We are still looking at lessons from the early church. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you for allowing us to use this technology to reach out to all who love you. We pray, Father, that this is beneficial for every single hearer. We are glad that our audience has increased because we have now have people listening and sharing a part of this service that aren't normally doing so. So we thank you and we praise you, asking you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a couple of announcements. We call this the announcement section. First of all, Sunday morning sermon is going to be available early Sunday morning, between 8 and 9, so you can get up, drink your cup of coffee, and listen to the sermon. Now, if I do a Sunday school summary, and I'm thinking about it, if I do a Sunday school summary, I'll announce it to everybody, so everybody will know that we'll have a brief summary of Sunday school, if I can get Doris to help me. We'll do some Sunday school stuff before the sermon. The Morning Watch prayer cast has been downloaded 165 times so far. They only count the downloads, so if you're listening, go ahead and download it, and then you can delete it after you've downloaded it if you don't want to leave it on your computer, but it kind of helps with the count. For some reason, they don't track how many people have actually listened, because a lot of people just listen and just go on to the next one. If you have tuned in, or if you haven't tuned in, go to HSYS Marshall on Facebook, because it's always loaded up to that Facebook page every morning as well. Get your Bibles open. And get ready at Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 John chapter 1. Again, we're learning things from the early church. See how we fare. Well, we talked a little bit about the eight together. And I'm still thinking about that, guys. Like I said, if I have to do that myself, if I pick up some sandwiches or something, when we get back together, we're able to come back together. Thank you. Been communicating with some people who hadn't been worshiping with us at all, who are probably going to end up coming and visiting with us once we get the doors back open. And what we're going to focus on tonight, though, is this idea of fellowship. The church was able to experience training in socializing with other Christians. You see, verse 42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. You know, to understand the importance of Christian fellowship, we must first understand what Christian fellowship is and what it's not. The Greek word translated as fellowship is koinonia. And in the New Testament, what it means is essentially is a partnership to mutual benefit all of those who are involved. Christian fellowship then is a joint beneficial relationship between Christians who can't have the identical relationship with those on the outside, right? You understand that. You see, we are all accustomed to fellowship of some kind. Before we're saved, we fellowship with people like us. Those kind of relationships are easily formed. But then once God has saved us, it's clear in his word that he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, partnership to the mutual benefit of those involved. Do you understand what it is? There is absolutely no mutual benefit between Christians and non-Christians. I say mutual benefit. You can be a benefit to them, but it's hard for them to be of any benefit to you. It's why the Bible tells a Christian person not to marry a non-Christian, because there's no common mutual benefit. Now, understand, this does not mean you can't go around non-Christians. Some people cut their relatives off, so I can't come around you no more. That's not true. It simply means that there's no mutual benefit, as I said. And you and the other thing is, based on the Ephesians passage, you make sure you, if you do hang around or go around non-Christians, that you shouldn't involve yourself in any sinful activity. So if a whole lot of sinning get to going on, you need to get up and get to stepping. That's the bottom line on that. We can have friends and relationships with unbelievers. Jesus often went into the dens of iniquity and sit and had fellowship, but he was always who he was. He stayed the same. Now, in other words, he took his message in. If they didn't like his message, they could get up and leave. So as long as you keep that in mind, so don't run your relatives off or scratch them off the list. Just be careful. I picked a passage, and I mentioned that, I picked a passage from 1 John because it kind of develops an approach that we can take. 1 John chapter 1. I'll begin at verse 1. For which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which I need Richard to read. Richard Smith, you read good, man. Okay, you don't feel like it? I'll do it then. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. This is the common message of fellowship. Our discussions, our conversation involves things of God, things that we can bear witness to, our testimony, our sharing. He says that concerning the word of life. Now, we're not like these guys who wrote this. John was an eyewitness, and so he approaches things a lot different. But we still have opportunity because, in a sense, we are eyewitnesses to the glory that God has revealed in each other. So, this is our message of fellowship. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard and declared to you, that which you also may have, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, here are the elements. And here is a clear passage that indicates, or at least says outwardly, that there is a need. We have fellowship, and then it gives the elements. There's an us, then there's the Father and the Son. It's collective. And in this sense, we can look to God. God has made this happen. God has put us together. It is Paul writes it to the Corinthian letter. In the Corinthian letter, he says, God is faithful, by whom you have been called into the fellowship of his Son. Let me tell you something. You just didn't figure out by yourself that you needed to be in church. It's all God and his dealing with you. I pray that the same God is inducing in you an idea and a spirit of fellowship. Verse 4. And these things we write to you that, and I love this, that your joy may be full. Listen. This is an attitude of all fellowship. When we get together, we should be able to enjoy ourselves. Now, there's Bible study, and then there's church. But in between, we often, and you know it, we often mix and mingle, and just have enjoy being around each other. We're kind of having fellowship in place right now. But I think I mentioned before, the Johnsons have come over, and we have a meal, and then we have some fellowship. We just sit around and talk. And when I feel like I'm really lonesome, and Doris don't want to talk to me, I go out and find James and bug him and do that. But that's it's just a need for that. Let me say it this way. We actually need each other's company. Don't you think so? And not only do we need each other's company, you know, I can do all right by myself. I'm kind of one of these persons. Doris teases me all the time. I could go into a room and close the door and just stay there forever. But I need to be around you guys. And you guys, I think or pray that you would want to be around me. Even loners, like some of us are, enjoy being around others. And so that's just that. It's built into us. I think God has built it. Why? Because we all have the same spirit. And that's important. We're moving on. But this verse 5 of this passage, this is the message which we heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The object of our fellowship is he who is light. He's the centerpiece of our fellowship. You know, and we do it sometimes. We talk about a lot of things. But ultimately what it boils down to is that we just talk about the Lord. That's good. Is there any better conversation, in fact, any surer conversation that we can have is just having fellowship with the Lord. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is light, we have fellowship with one another. There is this idea again, that this idea of fellowship. You know what I think? That no one would have to prove that we need to have this kind of attitude. And I want to say something. You can't pick and choose. I mean, you're a Christian. So if you've in your heart believe that you are around other Christians, then there will not be any issue with you having fellowship with them. You can't do that. It's just not Christian. In fact, it's sinful. And I'll say it this way. Anti-fellowship attitude is a sin. But of course, we're in a verse that says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's verse 8. And the truth isn't in us. Well, if you're sitting there saying, well, I don't have an anti-attitude with Christians. I just don't like the way they wear their hair. Okay, well, anyway. But here's your chance out. If you confess your sins, since the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, we sing that song, don't we? We sang that song about what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. But do we really mean that? And isn't that a great time? That's a great time in our church when we kind of stop everything and we get around. And I don't know whether that's going to change or not. I mean, we're waiting to see, right? But once they lift this coronavirus thing and once they said, all right, it's okay. And I think what's going to happen is one of the first places they're going to lift these limitations is going to be with the churches. And so when that happens, are we going to be cautious and scared to get that hug and say, I'm glad to see you? Or are we going to be sitting up in church with our mask on? How is that going to be? We don't know yet. We don't know how it's going to affect us. But I guarantee you, we are not going to let the devil destroy our desire for being around each other. Do you understand that? We're just not going to let it happen. So as we learn from the early church, we also learn that they had many obstacles to what they were doing. But it says they broke their bread with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse 47 of Acts chapter 6 is praising God and having favor with all the people. That's what we're going to do. We're going to just praise God as loud as we can. And we pray that when we get started again, that more and more people are going to want to join us in fellowship. Pray with me now. Lord, we thank you. Once again, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you, Lord, because you're so worthy of being praised. All that we have belongs to you. You've given us health and you've given us strength. And you know what? We want to thank you right now because as of this moment, we have not heard of any of our members being sick or hospitalized. And we got some members that are on the verge. We got some diabetics. We got some bad heart conditions. We got a bunch of old. And so, Lord, you're just blessing us. So we love you for that, Father. We pray that not only are you blessing our church, but you're blessing churches all over, that Christians everywhere are standing tall. And those that fall under the effect of this coronavirus, Lord, we're saying raise them up and present them faultless before your throne of glory, Lord. Bless them. Bless their families. And as always, Lord, we won't forget. Save our children. Save our grandchildren. Save those who we constantly put in the light of prayer. We've got a big prayer list. Lord, we've been praying for it. We've been praying and asking for your blessing on that prayer list. So, Lord, we mention that now. All of those names on the prayer list, we want to pray for them as well. Until the next time, Lord God, we ask you to look over us. Let us be smart. Let us be safe. Let us stay prayed up in Jesus' name. Amen.